You are listening to The New Man, Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier.
When your woman freaks out, do you buckle or try to make it all go away? Do you prefer a passionate woman or a Stepford Wife robot? And does your woman really support you, or does it seem like she's just another obstacle getting in the way of the life you want to have? Allison Schwabe and Christiane Pelmas are back for part two of our talk on how to navigate a woman's emotional minefield. Don't be afraid of the storm. Is that? Can you speak about the storm? Like, as a woman and your experience, here comes the shitstorm, you get thrown off guard, and then what's underneath that? Like, on the other side of that? Because I think some guys think if we have the storm, it's always going to be a storm.
Right. So when you say what's on the other side of that, you mean what happens after the wave crashes and there's utter disaster and casts
guys
around
are just
the
like,
beach?
I don't want to have the storm.
Yeah. Dismemberment. And
dismemberment.
Right.
Well, and I think also you're talking about how to go through something hard and come out okay. Mm-hmm. I think most people don't go through that thing that's hard because they don't know that they're going to come out okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think one of the bottom lines of this is, why am I in this relationship in the first place? Is it to feel good and to constantly feel like the story I have about myself is being supported and mirrored back to me, or am I actually in this relationship so I can actually see who I really am? And I've chosen this woman because she has this like mainline right into who I am as a man, even mm-hmm. if what I'm doing in the world doesn't even speak to that. So if we're looking to constantly feel comfortable and cool and the water's flat and we're okay, then whoa, I mean, then just fasten your seatbelt. I don't know. It's a rough road, and the storm is going to constantly represent like the end of time.
Yeah.
But life with a woman is about storm. And women storm, and the storm, and we storm in bed, and we yes. storm. I mean, storming, my definition of storming is that we're passionate and that we're feeling and that Express. we're moving through life and death and life. Most of the time when I talk to men and I say, what kind of a woman, you know, do you want this flatline woman? Do you want this sort of Stepford Wife woman who's like, yeah, sure, honey, whatever you want. Oh my God, no. I mean, I love her fire and I love her unpredictability. And there's this double-edged sword. There's this, you know, this real inconsistency of like, but not when it comes to me.
Right.
I love it when she yells at the neighbor because they left their outside light on at 4 a.m. But I don't, whoa, it's too hurtful to get it from her toward me. And it gets back to bringing it home, and it gets back to really coming down to what is true for you as a man. And then you stand in that. And a lot of times, and I'll speak from my own experience as a really powerful woman, when I storm, it's to test that man. It's to like see if my fist will just go right through his, you know, metaphorically through his chest. Like, who is he? Where is he? Is he gone?
Right.
Or does he stand and say, no, baby, this is where I stand. And if that's the case, holy hell. Like,
so guys,
whoa.
the storm is not wrong. The storm is not wrong. And so many guys are like, man, if I get the storm, then I'm doing something wrong.
You're being rejected or,
yeah. And I just want to throw it out that the guy's like, yeah, bring up the subject. It may, whatever subject it might be, and you may receive a storm, but it's a test. But it doesn't mean that what you're saying is wrong just because you get that storm in the moment.
And not at all. And it's very complex. You got to stick with it. And it's a great chance. Like you might realize halfway through the storm when you feel your foundation literally like slipping away like sand underneath your feet at the beach.
Yeah.
You know, oops, brought it up too soon. I got to go back and do some more work.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling myself being, you know, annihilated in this moment. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do my work. If her storm can make men feel annihilated, make her man feel annihilated, then he hasn't actually done his work. Mm. He needs to go back and he needs to own what it is that he's requesting so that no matter what her response is, that he's there. He's solid in that storm. He's solid. And he can wait and he can say, whoa, thanks for that. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
You know, now, where are we?
Now, I get that you're freaking upset and pissed and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about this.
Yeah. And maybe even if he really wants to like pull the trump card, he can say, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel you. I feel how important this is to you. And this is one of the reasons I love you, because this stuff moves through you.
And if he were to buckle in that moment, sorry.
I might, you know, I screwed up.
Oh, God, that's so not trustable.
I'm not going to bring it up anymore, honey.
Deadly.
Deadly. Deadly.
She'll then never forget that. She might, like Allison said, she might not be able to speak to that. Like, they can go to the most fabulous therapist in the world, and she might not bring that moment up as a defining moment in their relationship in
she
which
quit
she,
trusting him.
She yes. realized he was not her man.
Yes.
Because he wasn't a man.
That's
Whoa.
Right.
Whoa, dudes.
But she might not ever really know that. But yes. she'll stop. Maybe she'll stop having sex with him. She might just stop
Maybe
altogether.
She'll go find a man somewhere else to have.
Maybe like she'll start picking them. On him and whittling him down further. Because yep. when is this man going to stand up? Like mm-hmm. She'll just figure out ways, even if it's really still lodged in her subconscious.
Yeah, and
guys, are you listening to this shit? This is gold. Just, you got to listen to this stuff.
Well, and this part might be gold, but the other piece with women is when that happens. Also. Not only does the testing come, but if oftentimes a woman can't, like if that occurs and a woman stops being able to trust her man, then she takes over. So mm-hmm. not only will she test him, but she's all of a sudden, you know, as they say, wearing the pants in the family.
Exactly.
Which, what is that about? I think that this is what that's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
which
think
is so devastating to a woman and her ability to just be feminine and be divinely her.
So I just want to lay the context again for guys. I mean, we've gotten kind of far along in this topic, but when you don't own what it is that you want, when you don't really, like if you've got something that you want in your relationship and you kind of like find yourself, man, it'd really be cool if we could do this. Even if it's just like, I want to talk about the money. I want to talk about where I want to go for a vacation or anything like that. And your fear is that if you bring it up with her, she's going to have a shitstorm. That is devastating your relationship. You holding back is what is devastating the relationship, not the storm or the fit she may throw.
And I would say holding back and or speaking and then collapsing or all of a sudden
the
like giving
storm.
Way to her storm. Like all of a sudden that's right.
Well, let's model about like, so look, how does it, it doesn't need to be a fight. Like what I'm getting is it doesn't need to be this, like I need to dominate this scenario and kind of like pin her down in this argument because I'm
that's
right.
That's not going
to
work. Ideally yeah, not. Ideally that wouldn't be the way that the couple would approach any yeah. request for anything, whether yes. it's where they go for brunch on Sunday.
Yeah. And so, but how can he do that? So let's say he brings up a topic. Let's say he wants to talk about her weight. He has a concern about her weight or something. And it's just a concern. He has a fear around this. He has a real deep concern. And he's bringing it right. Here comes the shit fit. What's his response? Can we kind of just talk about how he can stay in the pocket, stay there, stay present? What does that look like from your perspective?
Well, I think you just named step one is stay there. Stay present.
So actually just physically stay in the room.
Yeah. And stay present to what.
So don't like respond back, blah, 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 like attack.
Well,
back
like I knew or, I couldn't talk to you. I'm going to go out for a little while.
Yeah. Or go into a shame spiral and all of a sudden kind of check out. So you're not even like, doesn't really matter if you're in the room because you're not with her anymore anyway. You're in your head or, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, and probably the most important thing for the man to just kind of have, even if he has to put it on post-it notes and take it with him into the room, is she's entitled to her response, and it has virtually nothing to do with me.
Wow.
So she can have
Say
her
that
response.
Again. Say that again.
Her response, I am not allowed to take her response personally. That's not fair to her. And that's another way we collapse, is by taking on somebody else's feelings. So she can
it's
have
huge.
Her response. And you're and by saying it doesn't have anything to do with me, like she freaks. Mm-hmm. This is, I tapped a nerve and she's off.
Yep. You make me feel this way. You make me feel it. She's throwing those kind of things at him and he's just like,
I can't
oh,
believe you're
not,
doing this to me.
Yeah. And it's like, wait, I'm not responsible for how she's actually responding.
Not responsible. Not responsible.
Can't okay. actually make anybody feel or do anything.
Right. So she's wanting to throw it on him. She's wanting to make him wrong for having whatever thing that he's bringing on. And he gets to stay there. And I would just throw out there, it's about like, wow, she's really upset.
Mm-hmm.
Like just really acknowledging like she is really pissed off. And she has
and
a
she's
total
entitled.
Right.
She's
That's totally
right.
entitled
Absolutely.
To be
and he can even speak to that. If he feels he's capable, he can say, whoa, you know, I just have to say, I had no idea. I had no idea. It doesn't change how I feel about this topic that I'm bringing up, but I had no idea you felt this way.
What? What about an invitation? What about an invitation to discuss this stuff? So here's what's going on with me. Here's what I want. Mm. I'm curious what's going on with you versus like, hey, here's what I want. You better fucking do it.
Oh, well... Yeah, hopefully, yeah, we won't even go there, right? Also, like, if it gets to that point,
but
then
I think a lot of guys do that. If they're threatened, they will take that posture. They will posture. Yeah.
Because it's a defensive place to be.
Right.
Like, right, you're either with me or you're not, you're, you know, with them.
It's a great way to govern a country, too.
Yeah.
I don't know that the conversations that we're talking about would ever happen with a guy that does that.
Yeah.
Because I think the relationship would probably end.
I just want to offer, like, it's an invitation. It's an exploration. Look, I'm scared. This is something I want. And this is kind of hard for me to bring up. But nonetheless, I want to speak to it. And I'm really curious what you have to say. Shitstorm, whatever may happen. But you get to stay in your... I would just recommend to the guys, like, staying in a place of exploration. And, like, you're exploring a far-off land. And the fucking volcano goes off. And like, wow, look, the volcano is going
off. Wow, there's a volcano here.
I think there's such an archetype out there of like, there's things that you can talk to your wife about and there's things you can't. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, I go talk to my buddies and I have like this like secret life away from there. And I think there's something to be said about having privacy and your own sense of self.
Sure.
Like it's, but on the other end, it's like, nope, I just don't talk about that with my wife. And it's accepted. I've watched relationships in my past, myself, in my family, that there were just like these divides. And we're challenging that now. We're challenging that in honor of like having a more fulfilling and more
real relationship,
enjoyable. This isn't just for like winning points in terms of like you know, what's a better relationship or not, but it really is about it. Like, fuck, I get to be real with my wife and my partner.
It's about it really insisting that your intimate partnership is one of the resources for you to be full in the world. There's no other reason to couple right now. There is no other reason to couple other than to be supporting, mutually supportive in your own individual purposes in the world and have each other be a resource in that way. The common thing that therapists hear all the time is I am the only one who has to deal with this. Yes. And that usually gets, that burden gets born silently, usually.
Yes.
I just want to point out how really special you are if you are the only person dealing with that.
Wow. Truly, right? Right? Like
6 billion people on the planet and you're the only
up
one.
With something no one else has found.
You are so freaking special.
Yeah, really,
I actually want to have you on the show. So yeah, email me. Your totally unique problem.
Yeah, really, we dare you to come up with a problem nobody else has.
And we will have the most special fucking person in the world podcast. Okay.
Absolutely. But it's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. It's not a human.
Right.
It's not a human possibility to be able to do this without other people getting in our way. So getting in our face and kind of saying, hey.
Yeah.
I cringe when I hear of big issues being brought up with couples in the privacy of their own home, because a lot of us have baggage and
we need help.
It's how are we going to do this?
It's
absolutely
a minefield. It's
and
a total minefield.
How are you
minefield?
Supposed to know how the hell to do this? I mean, that's part of why this show's so freaking popular, is because there's you're offering like, okay, so let's net it out. Step 1, 2, 3. How do you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And we need that. As people.
Of course we do. We're not born knowing this. In what universe do we think we should be born knowing this? We're not born knowing how to have sex.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not.
We're not.
You're born knowing how to want to.
Yeah, you're certainly born with the desire.
I would have eventually figured it out.
Yeah.
Give me a couple of hours.
If enough women put up with you, you could have figured it out.
Is it this? No. Okay.
How about if we put this here?
Well, I enjoyed that. You did.
The trail of tears that conjures up is just.
It sounds like my years in college. So.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It sounds like trust, like really trusting in your relationship. I can imagine like, well, I don't think my relationship could stand going through this difficult topic or us having that. And that would be a great place. That would be the context for going and finding a guide, a therapist, a coach, as you said. But I would also challenge certain people that it probably will, like if through these tests, relationships grow, having the guts to confront some of these issues. My experience is coming through the other side, like, wow, I didn't know this was possible. Mm-hmm. You know, 2 months ago, I would have thought we were going to be broken up by now. And now we're in this amazing place and we see each other and we're fired up and so much more is possible. So a lot of this conversation has been about the doom and gloom and like, holy shit, she's going to pitch a fit with you. But there is the other side. There is the reward.
What I want to be clear about for the listeners is the perception or the experience of looking at your partner as your opponent versus looking at your partner as like your team member.
Right. They're on the battlefield and they're on the same side. They're on the same army.
That's huge.
They're in the same army. It's very different. And that, if you know that, if you know deep in your heart and soul that you're actually on the same side with this person and that your needs to some extent are their needs, or at least they're willing to entertain them as important. They're willing to say that these are important to our team.
Yes.
It's categorically different. And the vocabulary that we would use is totally different. Sometimes shamefully or sheepishly walk into the kitchen and say, babe, I need to talk to you about something. It's totally different.
Yes.
That's huge. That's a big step. And I appreciate the distinction you guys are making about, that partnership. I knew when I met you, Allison, that, I knew life was going to throw shit my way, that there, you know, no matter what, there were going to continue to be tests. There was not going to be some plateau of bliss, that there was going to be challenges coming along. But when I met you, I really felt like you were somebody that I could weather those challenges with, mm-hmm. you know, in a partnership with, not like turn my home into the battlefield. And so that was what inspired me to want to be with you in that way. And
besides my awesome.
And I knew whatever challenges we had were going to be your fault anyway.
Of course.
But you know,
and
if
I was
we're
okay
a team,
with, I was going to be
you know
patient
that means
with your
team, right?
I was going to be patient with your faults. So, and I still am.
Yeah.
You're slow.
Yeah, a good team knows its deficits.
which are sitting in that seat
with,
right over there.
Who not to lead
right.
with.
Yeah.
But I knew that our life was going to be kind of like, it was going to be workable. We'd figure it out. We would make it happen. And we made a deal early on that when the wheels started coming off, we would go get help. Just even before that. And when it has happened, like just knowing, okay, we pick up the bat phone and we've got people that we call and we get help. And just even then, like maybe 3 days before we can even get in to see somebody or get some help, and it just feels better already. Like we're gonna be fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not alone.
We're not alone. And relationship is the freaking most hard thing you can
of
do
course.
In this lifetime.
Of
like
course.
Whether it's a relationship with your kids or a relationship mm-hmm. with your parents or a relationship with your lover.
Or it yourself.
Is the hardest thing to take on. So why do we stick our heads in the sand and like act like we got it all figured out and that or I'm going to go figure it out by myself. So, all right, pull your head out of your ass. Go get some help. Talk to your friends. How do you deal with this? How did you deal with that?
And it's risky, right? It's really risky behavior because perhaps, you know, it's the same as being in a sales job. You know, you might get 9 no's before you get 1 yes. You might get 9 like, no, I never had that problem. Even if that person is filled with that problem, that person's house is falling apart because of that problem.
Denial.
There's just tons of denial and there's tons of defensiveness and you might get that. But you know, actually this is pretty important.
Tough shit. I just want to like challenge, like tough shit. Like keep doing it. Like this
keep
is the path.
Speaking.
Like, don't puss out to that. Like get really clear about you want help and just keep charging along and you'll get it.
Can you, as a listener, imagine yourself where you are now and then going on this journey and actually coming out the other side with a positive means, positive end? Can you imagine yourself from point A to point B and how much more you love yourself and how much more integrity you feel like you have with yourself and how much more you know yourself? I mean, that, like, if for no other reason, if you don't want to do it because you love your wife and you want an amazing relationship or whatever, how about for yourself?
So what is one thing, because we talked about a lot of stuff today, what is one thing that a guy can do today, he can actually do to start getting some traction in this area?
Practice being okay with yourself. You're going to sit in a chair and imagine you have a foot fetish. You're going to sit in a chair and you're going to practice being okay with the fact that you have a foot fetish.
And being okay with it means like thinking about like, I have a foot fetish and watching these thoughts come in that want to be like, oh, you're fucking.
Imagine that you're in a room with all the people that you care about and you're getting ready to admit that you have a foot fetish. Practice admitting it and being perfectly all right with it.
Wow. Wow. Okay. That is stepping it up. That is stepping it up. Awesome. Christiane, do you have one?
It's along the same lines. It's every morning waking up and having a piece of paper, a journal that you can track, you know, whatever you're going to call it. And you literally, you say, I am your name. I am Christiane Palmas. I am the one who has a foot fetish. Mm. I am the one who wants more intimacy with my partner. I am the one who loves red wine. I am the one who, and you mm-hmm. get to do that 10 times, and you get to then read that list, and you get to say, that's who I am. I am that person. And the goal there is to really be honest.
Yeah.
I am the one who.
And then if you want to kick it up a notch, once you've done that on paper, then you go stand in a mirror. And then if you want to kick it up a notch again, you do that and you stand in the mirror naked.
And then you go stand on your front porch naked and you say it to your entire street.
That's right.
And you get a bullhorn naked. You're naked in the street with your bullhorn.
Yeah. And you say that as you run down the street. Streaking the street.
And then when they put you in the straitjacket and they haul you away.
And then you keep saying that.
Okay, good. And then when they put the electrodes to your...
And then when the judge is asking you,
you keep saying, just practice, practice, practice.
Practice, practice, practice. Because we're all freaking crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here are the big points from this episode. Number one, don't be afraid of your woman's storm, period. It's just like the weather. It'll pass. If you've done your homework and you're confident in what you want, you'll eventually be able to have a dialogue. Number two, you heard it straight from a woman. A woman's storm is a test. She's testing you to see if you're trustable. If her emotions will have you deny what you want, then she will equate that to mean that you can be swayed in your feelings for her. When you buckle to a woman's storm, you have sacked yourself. Number three, it's not about winning or being dominant. Your job is to stay open and not get hooked into her response. Don't get defensive and don't collapse. Stay present. Stay curious. Number four, you are not responsible for her response. Seriously, she is a big girl and she can have whatever response she wants. Just because she is mad or upset does not make you wrong, mean, or bad, even if she says so. Number five, you don't have to do this alone. I encourage you to find a therapist, coach, or guide to help mediate these tough conversations. It'll help the both of you feel safe and not get lost in a huge misunderstanding. You stand to resolve stuff quicker and minimize the collateral damage. You'd pay for a mechanic to fix your car, right? Why not find a professional to help you through these sticky times? Number six, see if you can look at these challenging humps as a growth opportunity. Often, relationships are more enjoyable and easy after these kinds of ordeals are handled consciously. Think about what is possible once you and your partner have moved beyond this instead of getting stuck in the actual argument. Let's wrap it up. Christiane, where do we find out more about you and the work that you do? How can the listeners get in touch with you?
Well, the easiest way is to email me.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can just email me at cpelmas, C-P-E-L-M-A-S, at comcast.net.
That's because she's stealth like that.
I'm stealth.
No business card.
Is that true?
You can't pin me down.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's stealth. It's true. She's like coot.
So this seems like a lot of information for a guy to handle. Do you and Christiane do any teaching? Do you have any events coming up where guys can work with you?
We have a weekend that we call the Red Pill Weekend. It's right here in Boulder. And what I love about the weekend is that there's a team of women that I help bring in, and we spend an entire day working with you and literally giving you straight feedback on how we're experiencing you. And we take the men through lots of different exercises, some of which are just simple approaches like how to, you know, what is it like to approach a woman in a bar or a coffee shop, to sexual desire and helping a man really own his sexual desire. Anything that you would think is like taboo, that's the kind of thing that men get to practice, owning their truth and what they really desire. And we help them be fully embodied as they own that, so that when they leave the weekend, they can go to their wives or their their girlfriends or boyfriends or whoever, and practice really owning what they really want in the world.
Sounds great. Sounds very good. And guys, if you want more information about the Red Pill Weekend, go to triplinear.com/redpill. Again, that's triplinear.com/redpill. Christiane, Allison, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was a lot of great information.
Great, great pleasure.
And it was fun trying to corral you guys into this thing. So.
I know. Yeah, we have like umpteen more topics we could.
We will certainly have you two back on.
Thanks, Trip.
Thank you so much.
For more information on the Red Pill Weekend, visit triplinear.com/redpill. That's triplinear.com/redpill. And be sure to visit The New Man on Facebook. Thanks for listening.